Everybody sit down.
Greetings, Colonel.
I said sit down! Now, you know how I don't like to use the sit-down gun, but this morning we just don't have time for mucking about. Major Allied cities have come under attack.
Nazis?
Close your mouth.
Dr. Scholl's gel insoles.
Wouldn't it be really fucked up if that fun stuff that you saw on TV in the 90s, years later, they're like, oh yeah, terrible for you. Awful. It's like those shoes from Seinfeld that Jimmy's got great legs.
Oh yeah.
And what if they were just awful for you?
I'm convinced there's got to be something like that. Remember Kim Kardashian had like the Skechers Shape-Ups? Like, you can get an ass like me.
Yeah.
Which was like... okay.
No.
I don't think that's accurate. I think if I put the contents of a saltwater fish tank in my ass cheek, then maybe.
Unless we always ask the question back, that's how you did it?
Yeah.
Really? Really? Interesting.
Because your butthole's leaking saltwater right now. You might want to do something about
do
that.
Do tell.
That's so, I can't get over, I can't fathom it. I have a problem with surgery stuff anyway, but I'm thinking about an ass implant.
I think about elective surgery in general. Now, I'm not talking about what insurance calls elective surgery, because they'll fuck you. Those sons of bitches. But like...
cost you an arm and a leg.
Not
just to
a
get
situation where like maybe you broke your nose and you need to get something like... well, you don't need... your breathing's fine. It's elective surgery. But like, be like, you know what I would really like is a better forehead? I don't know. I want a better chin, let's say.
I want a famous face.
Yeah. I want you. I'm going to spend $60,000 turning into Kim Kardashian. Like, why? I don't get any of it. Like, I'm not happy with my body particularly, but never to the point where I was like, you know what? I'd look so much better with like a juicy ass.
If I looked like Brad Pitt with a huge dumper, maybe my life would be better.
Yeah. I mean, don't be wrong. I feel like if everybody looked like Brad Pitt, they'd feel a little better about themselves.
Sure, even the ladies. And the thing is, I look at it like, go ahead and do whatever you want. It's fine. I'm not judging anyone. If it makes you feel better and it's something you want, if you can see it, you can achieve it. Get that surgery. I don't care. I'm just talking.
Yeah, sure.
It's like eating
right.
Poop. It's a thing I can't fathom. I'm like, I would never do it. It skeeves me out too much.
I think that might be a little bit of a false equivalence between eating poop and, say, getting fake boobs.
Not sure about that. Well, coprophagia like, community, stand up. Help me out here. You guys are weird.
Let's look at an example. Like Angelina Jolie, right? She had a lot of a history of breast cancer in her family, and so she had a double mastectomy.
Right.
And had fake breasts.
That's like a sound thing to do.
Seems like a very solid decision,
right.
You know? Versus those women who are like, I wanted them to be able to crush watermelons for the county fair. I'm like, listen, you do what you want, but I understand that one less than the previous example.
And see, I understand them equally.
Life's a spectrum.
Exactly. And your body's a playground. The food you put in it, the substances with which you alter it.
Well, it's like,
it's fun with it.
I
get
saw
weird.
An image of a man today on the internet because why? Of course I did. Of a gentleman who had his ears surgically removed so that his head would look more like a skull.
Interesting. Respect.
So, yeah.
It's a fun thing to do with your time. It fucks up your hearing.
I imagine.
Because I would
really
have to imagine your ear is not designed arbitrarily.
Well, that... it's like those people who like realize that like, I want my right leg cut off from the knee down.
Oh, what is that called? It's like ataphasia or something like that. Atysphoria.
I specifically don't know. I was going to say, all you said, because from the first thing you said is, I can think of as aphasia, and that's just where you can't speak anymore.
Yeah.
You slowly lose the ability to say words. You still understand everything. You just slowly lose the ability to speak, and I think it gets worse after that. I know it's what's going on with Bruce Willis right now, which is a thing that's been tearing me up, because I see his movies that he did in 2021 and 2022 that are showing up all over the place on... the crappy social media, or not social media, the crappy, you know, TV services, streaming services that I subscribe to. And I've like seen them and I'm like, oh, I kind of want to watch this movie because I like shit and I love Bruce Willis.
Manja.
But this is when he was like doing this so that he could get money to his family because he knew what was happening to him. And that kind of ruins it for me. It just surprised, it just, you know, it kind of changes it for you. And I know about it beforehand is what I'm saying.
Like, you knew about Bruce Willis's aphasia?
Yeah, before I've seen these movies.
Right.
I've seen clips of some of them where it's like the, you know, the character's talking to him. Oh, well, I know, you know, like you had problems with like Ronnie growing in, and he looks to Bruce Willis and Bruce Willis just kind of goes, yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch the Red Letter Media thing?
No.
Because that's where I got it.
No.
They put it all together and they're like, something's going on. And then like a week later, he went public with it and they were like, we weren't trying to make fun of him. We were like giving him the benefit of the doubt that if he was of sound mind, then he'd really scrape the bottom of the barrel. But as it turns out, he's sick and he's doing this to make money for his family, in which case we go right off into the sunset, you noble steed, you noble bald steed.
Well,
Bruce
again,
Willis.
They watched it and saw something was going on. And even that makes me go, I don't know if I want to, I don't know if I want to experience that. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, even if he were at full strength, these movies would not be worth watching.
Well, again, they
Bruce Willis versus the Reptile Man.
Yeah. Well, they like rode around. It's like one of them's like vengeance, you know, like
Biker
someone
Mice
got
from
done
Mars.
Wrong.
Yeah.
He's one of the old mob bosses kind of movies. And I kind of look at that and go, I'll just go back and watch Lucky Number 11 again. You know, that's kind of where I'm at.
That's your favorite Bruce Willis? Bruce
no,
Willis?
No. I just picked a random one.
Yeah.
Look at all the people that are in that. I'm just like, wow. Josh Hartnett, what happened to you?
What was the one, the other one called? Assassin's Ball? What was the, I don't think Bruce Willis was in it, but it was the like super schlocky over the top one where Jeremy Piven's locked in a tower and everyone's trying to murder him.
Oh.
The hell was that called?
God, that's going to bust.
Smoking Aces.
Yeah. Got that one at the same time. Everyone driving just rode themselves into a guardrail.
Hell yeah. Fuck
you. I'd like to think they were all excited with us, though.
Oh, that felt good, man.
Smoking Aces.
That was like the time I couldn't remember Qui-Gon Jinn and it tortured me for like 3.5 weeks.
Qui-Gon
and then just
Jinn.
In the middle of the train, I was like, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah. That's fun.
Good times.
What were we talking about? Smoking Aces?
Yeah, we're talking about movies.
Not poor Jeremy Piven. Look what happened to that guy. I think he got Me Too'd.
It's hard to keep up with.
He did something wrong.
We need a spreadsheet or something.
He did something wrong. Don't know what it was. That's why I don't see him around anymore. Because he was also in that terrible fucking Entourage.
Oh, yeah. Ari Gold, baby.
He was Ari. Which, don't get me wrong. That's the best fucking part of that entire show is watching that guy be a huge piece of shit.
Well, take him out of it. What do you have left? A bunch of guys with one functioning brain between them.
Yeah.
Running around Hollywood being like, duh, I sure like to fuck her. Yeah. I love smoking weed and tequila. I'm Aquaman.
Yeah, and them just going to random parties with celebrities who dropped through the show.
Yeah.
I'm famous, so I'm in Entourage.
Look, it's Jan Michael Vincent and Yasmin Bleeth. Yeah. Remember them? You used to beat off to both of them. You didn't know Jan Michael Vincent was a fella, but that wouldn't stop you now, would it?
I mean, come on.
He's beautiful.
Beautiful features. Entourage.
Rick Springfield's a beautiful man. Soft features.
But then you ask yourself, what did you see Jeremy Piven in after that?
You know? I think he started doing stand-up, actually, as wild as that is. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's fun. I mean, I guess he had fuck you money at that point. Because, I mean, listen, he was a pretty big deal. He was in a movie with Ronda Rousey, okay?
What was that quotation? It's like, so Turtle bets Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. It's so fucking awful. Who's he explaining the Entourage movie to? Someone's explaining the Entourage movie
to somebody.
It was
the guy from the Good Place who's tormenting somebody. He's like, so anyway, Turtle makes a bet with Ronda Rousey that...
Oh, he's explaining it to Shakespeare.
Ah,
he's
damn it. Explaining... I was telling Shakespeare about the plot of the Entourage movie.
Ah, yes. I guess that's a nice plug for The Good Place. If you haven't seen The Good Place, you gotta check that one out. That's
tip
a good
of the
one.
Cap.
Yeah.
We're just doing a little movie segment here, you know?
Oh, we're warming them up a little bit, I think. We're getting on the whole movie path.
Whoa.
Well, I wanted to talk to everybody a little bit. I kind of want to ruin something for everybody, but I kind of don't. I'm kind of on the fence. Because we went and recently saw a movie. We went and saw it in theaters.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We had a theatrical experience where I'm fairly certain I may have caught my third bout of COVID. It remains to be seen.
It's a delightful place.
It was a delightful
time. The Vermont Theater. We went and saw Nope. Which was, you know, it's the newest Jordan Peele movie.
Yes.
And I don't know. Like, I got to be honest. I didn't see Us. I definitely didn't see Them or whatever it was on Amazon. They just totally tried to rip him off.
Do people know the story behind them?
No.
It follows in the tradition of, like, people really kind of liked Lovecraft Country,
uh-huh.
but the violence to black people and slaves in that was, like,
too much.
Eli Roth levels of sadistic, like, racially based horror and murders and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And here came the show Them to up the ante and go, yes, really? We'll make it look like we're a spinoff of Us, even though we have nothing to do with Us. People just, their brains don't want to do enough work to make that distinction.
Uh-huh.
They'll just assume it's us and them. Peanut butter and jelly. Like
fucking assholes.
And yeah, apparently that was absolutely fucking brutal to watch. It was like
terrible.
Like,
yeah. Like what?
Just like slaves being skinned alive and stuff like that.
What was that?
Burned.
I just always ask, I'm like, who's that for?
It's the Shane Gillis thing. Who are these for? My black friends were like, we just assumed this was for you. And we were like, no, we thought they were making these for you. Nobody wants these.
Nobody wants these films. Or that was a show, right? Wasn't that a show?
Them was an Amazon, or is an Amazon series. I never watched it.
They got greenlit for season 4. Holy shit, there's 3 seasons?
Oh my God.
It always kind of creeps up on you sometimes when you look at like random like shows. You're like, I didn't know this existed. And then there's like 7 fucking seasons of it.
Yeah, I mean, I was dialed into Billions, but Billions is one of those.
Billions is, yeah, has a surprising amount of seasons.
You're like, there's 7 fucking seasons?
Where are they going to keep, like, they, it makes you wonder, like, where are they going to go anywhere? The first guy, I don't know what his name was, the guy who played the, like, Axelrod.
Yes.
Because, like, at a certain point during the series, and, like, if you're not caught up with Billions, like, I'm sorry, but, like, he disappears at some point. And they keep the show going.
Yeah, because Damian Lewis was like, I don't want to live in America anymore. I don't even want to do this anymore.
Is that what really happened?
Oh, yeah. He was just like, I'm done.
Yeah, it's the same thing that happened to, not to tangent, but, I mean, that's all this show fucking is. Ozzy Osbourne recently was like, sure, and just like packed the fuck up and they're heading back to the UK.
No shit.
Because they were like, the US has gone fucking crazy. We're fucking tired of it. We're sick of seeing it. We're sick of being a part of it. We're leaving. They're just going to fuck off. Mm.
Do you think that when the COVID pandemic started and they were like, ah, oh, you know, probably came from a bat, that Ozzy Osbourne just slowly receded into the hedges like Homer Simpson?
I'd like to think so. I feel like he's going through some stuff. I mean, he's been better. Like when they did that whole show, they just had him so fucking looped out. Apparently, like at a certain point, they figured out a bunch of different doctors had him on a bunch of different medication, and it was fucking him up. And somebody came in and cleared him all out, and he ended up doing a lot better. But he's like really old. He's got like Parkinson's.
The ratings suffered.
All kinds of shit going on with him, Ozzy Osbourne. I mean, he is the king of darkness, but he's getting up there. I don't know how old he is. Like late 70s now?
I would assume.
Yeah.
Probably something like that.
And again, we watched that movie with the Motley Crue where he snorts ants and pee.
Isn't he drinks pee and snorts ants?
Does a
or
bunch.
Does he snort pee and drink ants?
Oh, he definitely puts the ants up his nose. But he's doing that whole, are you ready for that? Are you ready for this, man? Kind of thing. Like, I can't do a fucking Ozzy Osbourne impression. But he's doing that whole fucking thing. And he definitely like drinks the dude's piss up off the ground and then snorts some ants. Yeah. What a wonderful metaphor for life.
It's a great time.
Yeah.
And then they write a song called Kickstart My Heart, which is shockingly about a drug overdose and having your heart restarted.
Yep. Oh, Nikki Sixx.
Maybe it had something to do with the ants and the piss.
Or perhaps the heroin.
This guy's got a lung full of piss. But he is also overdosing. He's got a belly full of piss, lungs full of ants, and blood full of heroin.
What an awesome life, man.
This guy knows how to party.
Yeah, and he ended up, he's like one of the greatest successes of the world. What does that say about our world and society?
That we're going to be just fine.
Yeah. It's like in the background, you just...
You know, I'm a dreamer. What were we talking about?
We were going to talk about Nope.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not this time.
Not this time.
We made it up. Total fiction.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Well?
I don't know. Do we want to like say we're going to spoil this? And if you really want to go watch Nope, like I'll say before we really get into it, I'll preface this whole thing by saying this. I am so easily scared by movies. It's kind of ridiculous.
Are you really?
I'm terrible with horror.
No shit.
Like, dude, I get nervous when we're sitting around watching old Hellraiser and shit.
I did not know
and they're
this.
Like the corpse. I am not good with horror.
But you're such a like logical, like skeptical guy.
It cuts back to me moving into my new house, into the basement. I get my own TV in my room. I'm like 11 and a half, 12. And the first thing I put on the first night I'm there in the darkness happens to be a movie that I'm not familiar with, and it's Scream. And I watch the whole first season where he, like, the whole first, like, moment where he's, like, hacking them to pieces outside. Like, I don't have any context for any of this. I didn't watch any of what led up to it. I'm just watching one of the more horrifying moments of that at a time when I'm not ready for it, at a time in my life where I'm kind of a wuss. And it just fucked me up with horror movies since then. Like, I don't watch The Ring, and I don't watch Amityville Horror. And, like, I've seen a lot of these movies in public settings or with other people or in this or that. But I don't personally search these movies out and watch them. I'm not a horror guy. I'll see them a lot, obviously, because I subscribe to a bunch of streaming services. I don't watch them. I'll watch a lot of suspense movies. I watch a lot of thrillers. I watch a lot of action. I watch a lot of drama. Obviously, a lot of comedy. I watch everything else. Sci-fi. And, you know, the only kind of horror that I end up watching happens to be sci-fi horror. Like, I've watched a lot of, like, I mean, technically...
Event Horizon.
Yes, exactly. So I have seen a lot of... Or Pandorum, things like that.
Yep. That's, which is essentially Event Horizon.
Yeah. That's that's my exception proves the rule.
Which is so interesting because, like, I am someone who loves horror. Uh-huh. Horror is a horribly diluted genre. There's so much crap. So much of horror fucking sucks.
Sure.
And as I've gotten older, I'm like way desensitized to the horror, like body horror stuff, like getting your spleen taken out. And I'm showing it to you.
I watched Green
Still
Hell.
Skeeves me out.
Or whatever.
The Green Inferno.
Green Inferno, yeah. That was probably the biggest mistake for me. I was like, I fucking despise this shit.
The torture porn stuff is just like, you become too aware of exactly what it is, which is makeup effects. The best horror really is all the stuff that's metaphor. Like, horror is metaphor. So I'm interested in the stories, and I enjoy them on that level. Like, the best horror is all metaphor. The stuff that scares the shit out of me is the existential stuff. Like, one of the most terrifying things to me is Hector Salamanca in Breaking Bad. The dude has a fucking stroke, and his enemy, spoilers for that universe, his enemy, I won't say who, goes, I want to rehabilitate him. Gets him to the point where all he can do is move his right index finger, and he goes,
going.
That's enough treatment for him. Mm-hmm. Sticks him in a home, and there he remains a prisoner in his body. His enemy is just keeping him alive. I have no mouth and I must scream. Can't talk, can't move. Mm-hmm. Can only move his index finger. That keeps me up at night.
I mean, that's pretty fucked up, I would say, and again, for me, it's that, that shit I can deal with for some reason. I find that
very
to be,
different people.
I find that to be terrifyingly interesting and a weird perspective. But, the Green Inferno, like, you crashed in this place and you're like, oh, help. And, like, they just fucking chuck an arrow into your friend and just somebody crushes the skull of someone near you and you're like, holy fuck. And then you're in a cage and there's just a town of people staring at you.
A girl gets like horrific diarrhea. I think there's a female circumcision.
Yeah, a bunch
spiders.
Of really fucked up stuff happens. And they just open the cage and let a guy out and they just slowly kill him. Like, just over the course, like, just they're in a big circle and he's just like kind of freaking the fuck out and they're just slowly taking whacks at him until they all circle him and with their bare hands tear him the fuck apart.
And
that for me really fucks me up because I think about that position and being that dude. Like, that for me, like, where you're putting yourself in the position of Hector Salamanca, I'm like, I would never want to be torn apart by society by their bare hands who doesn't understand the existential horror they are causing.
No, and that is a horrifying existential scenario, to be sure. But when I watch it in the context of Eli Roth and The Green Inferno, I can put a wall up between me because I'm like, it's so over the fucking top.
The way
that it's done, and where it clubs you over the fucking head.
Yeah, it is.
Whereas
excessive.
Something like Cronenberg, which is disgusting, and even the makeup effects are not all the time very successful. Cronenberg, it's all allegory. It's all metaphor. That's what's interesting about horror. It's disgusting shit to tell a human story.
Yeah, well, Crimes of the Future is out. Have you seen it yet?
No, I want to
I
so
think it might
bad.
Be on Amazon Prime.
Oh, it's supposed to be like super unsettling.
Yeah,
and I like to feel uncomfortable like that.
I'm not sure I'm going
to
watch it.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'm not sure. Because, like, that's...
You're going to show him his squeedly spooch. Yeah.
Body horror is not... Like, that's my line. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hate it, but it's also thrilling.
Oh, no. I'll take the other scary 10 times out of 10. Or even if I'm in a public setting where I have to deal with a bunch of other people with it, I'll deal with that. But if we were to be like, we're all going to sit down and watch this body horror, no, can't do it. I've seen scenes from a lot of those kind of films. I used to watch a lot of, like, Tales of the Crypt Keeper, The Bordello of Blood.
Oh, that's a great movie.
And all that shit. I used to watch that crap. And it just, nope, can't do it. Don't like it.
Nope.
I don't enjoy it. Yeah. But so nope for me was really just being like, okay, well, it's Jordan Peele. So I've seen Get Out. Get Out, even though, again, it's like kind of really tongue-in-cheek, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed everything they did and how they shot it and how they built the story. It was really nice. Again, a little over the top, a little really tongue-in-cheek, but good. Overall, good movie, solid. Enjoyed it from beginning to end. As someone who, you know, again, doesn't really do a lot of horror, it was very suspenseful, and I was hoping Nope was going to be that. And that's kind of why I missed Us, because it seemed a lot closer to straight horror than suspenseful kind of something, you know?
And in many ways, I kind of liked Us better than Get Out, and I liked Get Out a lot. Jesus Christ.
Don't you do it.
Fuck me.
Not this time.
Total fiction. I really liked Us quite a bit. I saw it a couple times. I saw it like 3 times because he did a really good job with, again, the metaphor and all that kind of stuff and piecing together all the different things that at first you're like, why the hell do we care about like fucking Flat Stanley? What does this have to do with anything? Mm-hmm. And then it all ties in together and you watch it a couple more times. It rewards you on a subsequent watch.
Yeah.
It's great.
Sure.
Get Out, you watch once and you're like, yeah, I got the gist of that. It's pretty good.
Well, I watched Get Out once or twice and there are these little nice moments. I was like, oh, I didn't see that earlier.
Yeah.
And that was nice.
But like,
it does give up the whole game though, which isn't, sure. Yeah, you always knew it was something was going to, the movie's called fucking Get Out, but it was still fun. Still a good ride. Nope. Are we going to get into it?
Yeah. Get into it.
Or do you want to get into Us a little bit more? Cause I kind of cut you off there.
Why don't you stuff this bird?
All right. Well, if you want to watch Nope, probably a good time to fuck off.
I'll put a little Skippy interlude here and tell you what the timestamp is. All right.
If you'd like to avoid spoilers for the film Nope, go ahead and skip to 39 minutes and 53 seconds. It's not on us if you fail to follow the instructions. 39 minutes and 53 seconds.
Here we go. Nope. God, how to begin? It's really a lot about spectacle and Hollywood, and you kind of start... What's the main character's name?
OJ.
OJ. And OJ works on, yeah.
Not being an asshole, it's really OJ.
It's really OJ. How do we fucking forget that? But it's him and his dad on a farm, and his dad is played by, I love him.
Keith David.
And
I've been enabling white people since 1985.
He's that guy from Community. Fantastic. Love him. You don't get to see much of him because he's, like, again, it's a horse farm, kind of important. And they train horses for Hollywood, for film and whatever, what have you. And they've been doing it since the beginning. They've been in the industry the whole time. And suddenly you just kind of hear like, swing tides! This random shit just kind of falls from the sky. And one of it just goes, boom, right through OJ's dad. Just zing! And he tries to save him. Has to bring him all the way to the hospital where he's just kind of like not there and kind of losing it. Because it just goes right through his brain. And has to watch him die in the hospital. So he has to take over the farm. Because it just kind of dives right into it. Doesn't really have a lot of time to mourn. The farm is now his responsibility and it's kind of in a sink or swim moment already. They've got to land these certain contracts and, you know, keep everything afloat. And, there's another kind of, not really, it's sort of a tourist attraction. It's like a site that is, ran by Glenn from The Walking Dead.
Stephen Young.
Fantastic. Don't know how I feel about him in this. And he's been, renting, or buying. I'm not sure. Has he been buying or renting them?
Buying.
He's been buying the horses from OJ's farm. And, you know, it's this little kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, you can buy them back one day. And we're not really sure why that's weird, but the scene is very off-putting. I don't know. Keep going from where I am. my throat's bugging me.
Tagging me in.
I'm tagging you in.
All right.
I'm
just
floundering here. I'm dying.
I just like... in a nutshell, it's a close encounters of the third kind type thing.
Well, weird shit starts happening.
Yeah, but the thing is, the weird shit takes like it was too repetitive for me. I needed more shit to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know what I do like is the neighbor boys kind of fuck with you in one thing. Like, he's in the horse barn and like there's a light on and some shit going on. And you're like, huh, what's going on? Like, maybe we're going to have an interesting moment here. They're really building the tension. He goes and he turns this shit off and he starts to walk away and it turns itself back on. And you're like, okay, something's going to fucking happen. I was kind of finally excited. And you see these like little things start to poke their heads around. And he goes, nope. Everyone has themselves a little chuckle. And he starts to fuck off.
See, and that's the moment that I got excited. I was like, this movie's about to go full Critters. Yeah. We're about to get Jordan Peele doing Critters. Uh-huh. I unironically love Critters. I was so excited.
I've seen Critters as well. I kind of would have enjoyed that.
I thought, nope, Critters 2 especially. I thought, nope was going to be the turning point, and we were going to get into a Jordan Peele creature feature. I was so excited.
Could have been fun.
I'm like, wow, he's just giving up the ghost. There is no, like, Close Encounters mystery. This is just, these are the things. They're here. They start eating people.
They're going to fuck with them hard.
They're going to fuck with them bad. I'm like, he's just going to do something cool.
The way that they do it is, like, you're standing there and you just see this thing just really slowly, this black figure just peek around the corner. You're like, oh, fuck. And they build it in a really fantastic way. And then he turns and there's, like, one swinging down from the rafters and he just jacks it in the face. Oh, it's the local kids. And that kid, oh, fuck, man. And they run the fuck off. And you're like, okay, it was just a bunch of little kids.
That to me, I was like, oh, that's super interesting and fun.
Mm-hmm. I think he tries to record them, too.
I think so.
Gets his phone out. A big part of this is at a certain point, they realize something's taken the horses. They don't know what's taken the horses, but they know something's taken the horses. And they're like, man, it's got to be UFOs. So, like a bunch of assholes... They go out and buy a shit ton of camera equipment to try and capture it rather than fucking off. Because that's like, I mean, that's a big theme of the movie.
Right. That can be their ticket to fame and fortune. And then you get a TMZ guy who shows up. Is like dying. He's like, just take my picture.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you like see Jordan Peele standing over that, the corpse of that man, just flogging it with the script for the movie. And it's a little kid from The Simpsons shows up and it's like, stop, he's already dead. Yeah. You've beaten the metaphor into submission.
Yeah. So again, it's all about spectacle. I believe there's a big thing too, where this thing doesn't take anyone who doesn't look at it, right? Like that's a big part of it.
Don't look it in the eye hole.
Don't look it in the eye, because eventually there's some kid who's from the Geek Squad, which is how they paid for it. He's helping them set up the cameras, but he's also kind of like hacked in their feed and watching. And he notices there's just this cloud and it doesn't go anywhere. It just stays there all fucking day. It's just this cloud. And they're like, what the fuck is that? I wish that had paid off more, because this UFO is like moving through the sky, right? It's always hiding itself very well. But then there's also just this random cloud that just sits there. And for me, like, again, you're really hoping that the payoff is going to be something interesting or terrifying about the UFO. And it comes to the end where the UFO is just a creature, right? That's it. It's just like an extraterrestrial creature. That's the big payoff. It looks like a flying saucer, because it kind of is a flying saucer.
And it turns into a big, beautiful jellyfish.
It does turn into a big, visual, beautiful jellyfish creature at the very end. Again, I don't really get why, but they did. And it's just eating people. So you go back to Glenn from The Walking Dead and his tourist attraction, and he's just set it up a big spectacle. What he's been doing is getting a bunch of people out there and feeding it a horse. And it shows up, and everyone kind of prays to it. I don't know if he says it's a miracle. I don't know if it's a religious thing for him.
No, it's a trauma bonding thing, because we can get into what happened to
Steven
Yeun's character.
Go ahead.
He was child actor.
They make a big deal out of it.
This was one of the more important, and this ties into the spectacle thing, and like, ooh, mm-hmm. We love to transgress, and we love to watch things we shouldn't, like Russian lathe videos and the execution of Saddam Hussein, but we watch them because of our morbid curiosity. I am implicating you, voyeur.
Like, I mean, yeah.
That's the whole point of the movie, right?
True.
So as part of that, there's this, Steven Yeun is a child actor and he was on a show called Gordy's Home, and it was about a sitcom monkey
yep.
who had all these shenanigans with this family. And they were doing like a birthday episode, and the balloons popped, and the monkey went apeshit.
Yep.
Pun completely intended. And murdered everybody.
Yep.
Except for the little kid. And the little kid's hiding under the table, and there's this great suspenseful moment where you're like, is the monkey going to come eat him? What's going to happen? Because we know he's okay. We know he made it out okay. What happened? How's he getting out of this bucket of syrup?
Yep.
And the monkey with a bloody hand goes in for a dap. And right as he's about to dap the monkey up, they fucking blow the monkey's brains out.
Yep.
Very
real close.
Fucked up situation.
Yeah.
Very well done. That was very interesting to me.
Actually, yeah. I was really interested to see how it was all going to kind of tie together. I don't find it particularly satisfying, but... What ends up, I mean, go ahead, tell him what ends
up. But that was all a pretense to have him be like, I have trauma, and I think that this alien does as well, which is why it trusts me.
Sure.
Oops, I looked into its big sky butthole, and now 50 people are getting sucked up into it,
yep.
including one of the women who survived the attack of the monkey show and got her whole face ripped off and has no lips.
Yep. This
She's
thing
there.
Trusted me, but then I showed it to a bunch of people. It freaked out. And it kills everybody. It kills the whole fucking... That's the I was so kind of excited for that moment when they were like, okay, we're going to show you what it's like. And it's really
going to show people passing through the digestive system of an alien being.
Yes.
I was very excited for that as well.
Uh-huh. And it ends up just being like you know, like the like couch leather, like but not really like you really stretched it out and then you push someone through it. Like that's all it is. It was just him like people getting kind of sucked through like rubbery rooms.
Yeah, they were kind of getting sucked through like rubber drapes.
Yep, rubber drapes. That's a good one. Yeah, rubber drapes that kind of went up and down, and then you're watching the guy like, oh, fuck, oh, and it's just kind of pulling you up, and at the top, there's just blackness. And that's it. That's all they give you. Now, the only cool thing about it is, as the thing's flying around, and it's eating these people, they're screaming. Oh, my God!
That's eerie.
Oh,
that's well
no.
done.
This is horrible. Like, that kind of thing, because you think that it's obviously... painful and terrifying, and what's happening in that thing that's making them all scream in that way, and look how long it's taking, and then eventually it just kind of rains all of their blood all over the house.
Yeah, it just belches blood on top of the house, and it's like, yeah, interesting visual, but
yeah,
to what end, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a shocking thing put in there. And in
well, and the metaphor, too, of it being like, well, it's just always sick by fake things. Like, it tries to eat a fake
inorganic
horse,
matter
inorganic
yeah.
matter kills it. I was hoping that like they convince a great cinematographer who spends pretty much the entire movie talking to them over the phone and watching videos of like old videos of prey getting eaten.
Yeah, he's editing film.
Yep.
So you know this guy's a douchebag.
Yeah.
He's not working on Avid on his computer.
He's doing straight film. And they get him out and he looks right at it. And obviously like they make a metaphor, he's dying of something. And he gets up on the hill and gets the perfect, the impossible shot, you know, and gets sucked up into the thing and his camera gets sucked up. I thought that was going to play in somehow, but no, it just, it's fine.
Yeah. I thought maybe we'd get footage of like further up the poop chute, the something. Digestion. I just wanted to see how this thing made stool.
I wanted, well, it just spits the stuff up. Obviously in the beginning when Dad gets killed, it's because the monster was throwing up some nickels and some bullshit.
Yeah, keys and stuff.
Yep.
Keys stuck in the horse's ass.
Yeah.
You know, Rory, ask me if I thought Nope was a good movie.
Was Nope a good movie?
Nope.
Nope.
Ask me if I thought Nope was a bad movie.
Was Nope a bad movie?
Nope.
Nope. What kind of movie was Nope?
Nope was half of a really interesting movie and half of a gentleman sucking his own dick.
So they realize, you know, that inorganic matter hurts the thing. So they set up a trap. And again, this is all in the hopes that they can lure it to a place where they can get good camera footage. Because every time it shows up, it also fucks up the camera feed, fucks up your power, fucks up your phone, fucks up your service. So getting an image of it is impossible, which is, again, why they get the guy who's using the old camera to try to help them. And instead of just fucking off or, I don't know, telling the authorities, be like, if you got one police officer out there, two police officers, one guy to take it seriously and one guy to report back home, and they're like, he ate Jeff. They ate fucking Jeff. Get everybody, you know, like they're going to do something about it. The military's going to show up. I don't know.
Well, I guess then it really does become.
You can probably get fucking credit for it.
it becomes like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and it blows up in scale. And I realize he's just trying to do a like intimate thing with like four or five characters, which I love. I appreciate. I like small scale stuff like that. I love it too,
but the way he wrote it is a fucking Mack truck of a plot hole. Like, it's just, it asks you to assume a complete lack of common sense on behalf of the characters.
Well, it makes sense. Well, in a certain way, and now I'm like standing up for the movie, it makes total sense because they live far out. It's not a place that you get to. It's like, by golly gulch.
Sure. They have a lot of land.
Yeah, they've got a lot of land.
They do a lot to really exemplify that.
In the middle of nowhere. So no one's really coming sniffing around out there. Sure. And they're not going to alert the authorities because then they don't get to take credit for it. They don't get the first footage.
Sure.
And they don't make the Zapruder film. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I get it. I get that point. That's fair. And that really is important. I think maybe that's why it's such an uncompelling film, is because it makes you look at the characters and think of them poorly.
Well, they're just not even like...
They're not very compelling.
They're not really developed either.
They're that's fair. They are pretty.
You know what I mean? Like they pay lip service to like these relationships that don't really pay off.
It's all about the action of what's happening, not so much about the people in the film. Maybe that was intentional. I don't know. It's just funny because again, it ends with them chucking a big fucking inflatable up into the air, and it pisses off Sky Monster, who eats it and it kills him.
He chokes on it. He's like a dog choking on a spent condom, or a baby suffocating on a dry cleaning bag.
And while he, it is dying in the sky, she uses this like funny camera that's like foreshadowed from the beginning. That's in the bottom of a well. Like it's out in the middle of nowhere. It's like a Western themed village kind of thing that Glenn from The Walking Dead is doing. And so you look down into the well and you press the lever and it takes an old timey photo of you. And so she uses that to take a photo of the monster at the end and looks over as all of the like people start to show up. And she's so happy. And she looks off and sees her brother and he's on a horse. And he's smiling and he's alive. That's it. That's the film.
Which, like, her thing resolves the whole spectacle idea of it. It was like, my brother died so I could get the perfect shot. I did it. Like, that's very interesting. Sure. But then having him show up on the horse as, like, the conquering hero was like, well, you just undercut both your storylines. And the thing is, they kind of set it up where it's like, he's the guy trying to keep the family business going. He's trying to be serious, but he has no charisma.
Sure.
He doesn't really know how to handle the business end. He just knows how to handle the work. His sister is, the steak, she's the sizzle. She brings the presentation to the whole thing, but she's also like, this job is my side hustle. I'm trying to be an actress and stuff. I'm just trying to like make it and be somebody.
I don't want to stay here.
Yeah. And I'm a flake. And that's really well set up.
Sure.
And then they never go into it like,
no.
Does he resent her for fucking off and leaving him alone? Mm-mm. Does she like? Does she resent him for staying and treating her like she left? Like
making her feel guilty for having to stay here.
Right.
Yeah.
There's any number of things they could have done that they just didn't do in service of like making them a well-oiled machine that like occasionally argues.
Sure. You're right. There's really not a lot of development. They are all pretty much one-dimensional characters. They are exactly who they are at the beginning, middle, and end of that movie. They don't change. They, in the end, get what they want.
And if they're not going to arc in the traditional sense, like something interesting's got to happen.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of pretty static. Like at the beginning of the movie, I could have figured they would have done the things they did by the end.
Well, you're waiting on the suspense of trying to figure out what the creature is. What is this thing in the sky?
It's like Cloverfield. Not a good movie, but what does the monster look like? They really marketed the hell out of that.
And you get to that moment where the reveal happens. We know, it's an animal. It's eating. It's feeding. This is like its hunting ground. Like, that's what's going on here. And then there's so much fucking movie after that. You're like, you really, like, it doesn't need to, like, I don't know, it drags for me. They just kind of, like, everything that we know, like, they just needed to put together, I think, a little bit quicker.
Movies are getting long, man. I saw Elvis.
Yeah, how long?
Movie's almost 3 hours long. I don't know. Do you have any final thoughts on Nope?
Nope. Look, I think, again, it's a movie that you go ahead and probably watch it at some point. I wouldn't pay money to go see it. I did pay money to go see it, but like in hindsight, I'd be like, I could have waited. I could have just waited until this was on, you know, Netflix or HBO or something.
Prime.
Yeah, this is on Prime. And but other than that, it's okay. I think it's a lot more fun to argue with people about than it is to go watch. Again, the there's just a lot of moments in it where you're like, oh, that was kind of a letdown. Like that was a letdown moment.
I will say, in its favor, it sent us away thinking about it and talking about it.
Sure.
So it's a success in that regard, but I just like didn't enjoy it. Like, these are just questions I have. They're compelling. Not questions that like consume me.
Yeah.
Like The Exorcist, you talk about movies that like you're scared of horror movies. I used to be scared of stuff like Child's Play and David Cronenberg's The Fly. Then you get older and you recontextualize those. Mm-hmm. The one movie that not just still scares me, but scares the fucking shit out of me to the point where talking about it sent a cold chill down my spine.
Yeah.
The Exorcist.
Wow.
The scariest fucking movie I have ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, that one really fucks with you.
Fucks my shit up to this day.
Wow.
Nuclear. Nuclear option. Have you seen it?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I can't remember the last time if I've ever like sat down and watched it from beginning, middle, and end. Like, I've obviously seen all the shit with the girl puking on people.
Sure. Yeah. Do you know what she did?
Yeah, like all that shit. Give me a run. Why is it particularly horrifying?
Because it's made in such a vivid, like, only in the 70s way. You know what I mean? Like, the makeup effects and stuff. It was perfectly designed by Dick Smith. The demon fucking terrifying. The effects are horrifying. It's another existential horror situation where I can put myself in two shoes. Or every character's shoes. Honestly, it's more than two. I am the little girl. This is happening to me. I have no context for it. I'm chilling in my bedroom one day, and all of a sudden, the bed starts shaking. Now, all of a sudden, I'm violently jerking up and down. Like an invisible force is just pummeling the shit out of me. My terrified mom comes in. She gets close. I'm going to slap her, but I don't realize what's happening. I'm turning into a fucking feral demon creature. I don't even realize it's taking over my body. It's physically transforming me. I'm a prisoner in here. She's in here with us. The little girl, the sorrow is mine.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
Being overtaken by a demon idea terrifies me. Being, again, out of control of your own body.
What if you have been a demon this whole time?
That is actually an idea I had for a movie where a guy's like, I think I'm possessed by a demon. It turns out like, no, you're the demon and you've been dominant for years and now the old personality is resurfacing.
That's actually pretty good.
Because you've been kind of living as a human for too long. And you kind of forgot your demon core. Now the human's coming back on you.
That's nice.
You know?
Now you're just Chet going to work.
Chet the demon.
Yeah.
Being from the perspective of the mother, watching this happen to your child, not knowing what you believe. You're seeing something, sure. But you're not particularly religious. You're an actress. You're not like, I believe in science. She's not obnoxious like Deborah Messing. You know what I mean?
The closer.
We're not there yet. So she's watching this happen to her kid. She's like, I don't know what I believe. I don't know how to explain it. Medical science can't explain it. I don't know if I believe the fucking church. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Little girl tells a fucking astronaut, you're going to die up there as he's about to go to space. And he does, in fact, die up there in, I believe, the second or third movie. Fucked up. Pisses on the floor. So you're the mom. You're watching this happen. And you're like, what the hell? Then you're the priest. And the priest is undergoing a crisis of faith. And now it's being tested in, like, the most...
difficult way possible.
Unprecedented, difficult way possible. He needs to get in touch with his faith. Like, you're seeing a demon. That's not seeing the same thing as seeing God.
Yeah.
So your faith is, like, low. Your little yellow engine tank is on. So you need to dig deep. The only way you're going to beat this thing is with faith. You got to dig deep and find that.
Wow. Yeah, that's fucked up.
You're vulnerable to this fucking thing. And in fact, in the end, the demon does travel into Father Karras, who has a brief moment to throw himself out of a window and down a bunch of steps and break his own neck and die and vanquish the demon along with him.
Yeah.
That movie fucks my shit up.
You've thought about this a lot.
I've watched this movie a lot. I wrote a paper on it in grad school specifically all the stuff that I just said.
I don't know, Koch. It seems a little iffy. C minus. You're like, fuck you.
Pretty much what Grundman said.
You piece of shit.
What new context does this add to the understanding of the film? He was this like totally self-serious German guy. Yeah.
I had a teacher like that. It made me very, very stressed out. I was like, I'm going to do bad all the time.
I'm going to spend all semester trying to get you to love me.
Yeah. He was giving me like a C+ in this class, like a really important, something you have to take as a freshman. And he ended up getting really sick, and I got passed into another guy's class who was basically the stage director, John Devlin, if you went to St. Mike's. And I was like, oh, man. And I looked at the other people in that class, and they were fucking idiots. And I realized I was in the tough class. or I had been in the tough class, and everything was just fine at that point. Suddenly, I became a big fish swimming in the small pond again.
You looked around and said, I think we can all agree who's in charge here.
Essentially, I started watching the smart people from my other class yell at these fucking jock bro assholes who'd taken the class as a lark because they thought it was easy. Just like analyzing old plays and writing papers on them was essentially what the class was. And watching these fucking douchebag bros book, I don't know, seems like he was just trying to, like, you know, put her in her place. Looking just like, holy shit.
Hey, if you do it with an open hand instead of a closed fist.
And yeah, I just looked at the person to the right of me and just give them the album and be like, holy shit, watch this. And you just watch people eviscerate these people. It was great. I kind of miss it. College was fun.
College was fun.
Well, except for when, you know, it wasn't.
Except for the times when it wasn't. Like shitting your pants.
Oh, yeah, that happened to you?
Yeah. Well, not at any party or anything.
No, see, that's what, yeah.
But I think I talked about the terrible food poisoning I had.
Uh-huh. Yeah, where you shit the bed real hard.
There was that one where I puked the bed. But I also got terrible food poisoning in Indiana, and you talk about The Exorcist. I painted every single surface of that bathroom in my vomit and then crawled on my belly like a monitor lizard into the shower, reached up with all the strength I had to turn on the running water, and then in that moment went, time for the pièce de résistance, and loosed my bowels and shit in my pants while the water from the shower ran on me.
And rinsed it down the drain.
Rinsed my sins away. Washed my shitty ass from the outside.
I gotta tell you, I've had some bad times, but I don't think it's ever, loosed on me. In a way where I was like, I need to be in the shower for this.
It's awful. It's coming at me like gravy.
That's aggressive.
It was awful.
Everyone's had that time when you went into the stalls and it was just destroyed.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Just wrecked from left to right.
I told you about the Pooh Mountain in Chicago, right? I walked into a shitter that was like, it was one of those, like, it's coming out of the bowl. Yeah. The last person, like, clearly had to hover on top of the tank to drop this.
Oh, I've seen those before. That's my Vegas story. But
to contribute to these, and I lost a pair of sunglasses in them. So just like a cool poop.
Did you make sure to adjust them? Hey. Now they look like it's like, I don't got time for this.
I made it give the hang loose sign.
Yeah. It's real, that real Weekend at Bernie vibes, I got to say.
Some real Banksy shit.
Wow. That's awful. Literally. That's depressing. Yeah. I always remember all the sad ways I've lost my sunglasses. None was worse than when I was helping Tanner, friend of the pod, Tanner, move some stuff, and they were on the top of his car. And I just was behind him, and I watched them go just up, and then they went under my car, and I was like, well, guess I need some new sunglasses.
Tough way to go.
Yep.
That's when you learn the lesson, man. I had a pair of Ray-Ban Wayfarers. They were hot as shit.
Yeah, these were Ray-Bans.
And I had them hanging off my shirt. And I jostled them somehow with the strap of my backpack back at UVM. They hit the floor, never saw them again. They were lost in a sea of people in transit. And I'm just doing like, Wilson! Yep. Wilson!
I'm sorry, Wilson!
I'm sorry, Wilson! Ray-Ban! While these glasses are just being kicked amongst the sea, someone to probably go, what the fuck is this? Yep. And they pick it up and go, oh, Ray-Bans. Yep. Sick.
I'll go ahead and get the lenses fixed.
Yeah, if they were even too far gone by that point. You might have just had a nice free pair of Ray-Bans.
Yep.
And then I went, never again. I won't ever spend more than $7 on a pair of sunglasses.
Yeah. They were the sort of thing that years ago I got for a gift, I think. Or, I don't know. I worked at a company for a while where they had the ability to, like, get stuff for cheap. We had deals with this, blah, blah. Please don't quit. And I might have gotten them then. It's like, wow, $30 for these, like, $90 sunglasses. Yeah, okay, cool.
It's a good gift if someone wants to get you some Ray-Bans.
Yeah. I always feel bad because when I was younger, I got, like, a nice wristwatch. I'm just not a wristwatch person. I don't really need to know what the time is in a way that rips the hair out of my arm. I don't have a lot of hair, if you know me. So it's like,
that's just the watch reminding you to check the time.
I need my hair. So I just like never got around to it, you know. Yeah. Maybe one day if I become a suit guy. I don't know. I'm in my mid-30s. I don't think I'm ever going to become a suit guy.
You get a better chance of becoming a soup guy.
Yeah. You're going to be shocked if I wear one to your wedding, Jeff. I don't know. I'll try. I guess I have to. Mm-hmm. He's going to decide. All white. If we're doing all white stuff, I request we wear pink underneath. That sounds nice.
Actually, if you want to talk about 30 Days of Jeff and sabotaging his wedding.
Yeah.
Ha ha, the joke is making us wear all white.
Yeah.
Ha ha, 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 ha. Rory washed his with a red t-shirt.
Yeah, no. Listen, if you make us wear all white, there's nothing you can do to stop me from wearing pink underneath. I'm sorry, there's nothing you can do.
Oh my goodness. Not only did it turn red in the wash, but it shrunk. So you have like high water pants. You could barely move in the jacket. Just look like a big idiot.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Mitch uses a weed whip at Norwich with his white 10-gallon hat on. It's just destroyed by the time the wedding rolls around.
Yeah, all white hats would be such a great idea, Jeff.
I'm telling you, if Jeff made us all dress like Boss Hogg, three-piece white suits and the 10-gallon hat.
You do that, you can't give us the hat till the day of. Otherwise, it's going to end up whiskey-colored.
You're going to know who pissed his pants.
Yeah, which sounds great.
Oh, it was...
Now come dance with me, date that's clearly not a prostitute.
Da-da-da-da-da.
And then we go for a dance.
Yep.
And she looks at me and she said, you didn't pay me for this hour. And I said, if I do, you can't keep talking! Anyways.
I told you to act like we've been together for 6 months and we met on Plenty of Fish.
You can't keep saying that. People hear you.
You said Hinge. We have to get our story straight.
They have ears. I'm just kidding, Jeff. We're going to do way more work and research. It's fine.
Don't you worry. We're going to find out what you fear most.
Scripts are going to be written. Plans will be laid. Let's call them plots. I think plots is a fun word.
You know what I
and
think?
And very applicable.
Jokes and japes.
Ooh, jokes and japes is pretty good. Doesn't that sound... much more innocent than I was thinking.
It's a misdirect.
That's all right. That's what we're going to call it. Jokes and japes. Can't wait for the text, Jeff. Love
you. Operation Jokes and Japes.
It's like, don't you fucking do it. Listen, man, I just want to know. I know Texas is cool with guns, but what about fireworks? That's all I'm asking. Just.
What about guns that shoot fireworks?
It's rhetorical. I'm going to look it up. Again, if we wear white, I'm just like, yeah, and it's just, I'm wearing two Berettas. Yeah, man, I picked these up for like $15 down at the pawn shop. They're fucking giving them away. I was there looking at guitars, and they're like, here's your gun. Figured I'd wear these bad boys. Look, I got a cross draw. Yeah, they're
neat,
loaded.
Huh?
Hold on, I'm going to give them to this 8-year-old kid. Ah, love Texas.
Go ahead, make sure it's clear.
Maybe we should move back to Texas.
You know what I would like to do is wear a little like suicide vest of fireworks and just open up my jacket and be like, happy wedding, Jeff and Marla. And suddenly a bunch of guys with guns just take a bunch of shots at me. Pip, 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 pip. I go down. Jeff is like, oh my God, why did you do a stupid bit? Why would you do that bit in Texas, dude? You knew you were going to get shot by like 9 guys. And that's when I sit up and I go, squibs, bro. Squibs.
That's nice.
Happy wedding. Happy wedding. I look at Marla and we high five.
Yeah.
And she looks at Jeff and goes, never sleep again, motherfucker, till death do we part. You never know when I'm planning bits with your friends.
And you just pull a cord and you explode. Turns out you were full of candy the whole time. It wasn't even you. Just a big candy mannequin.
Classic misdirect.
Yeah. Wow. How did it look like that was Koch the whole time?
Just a giant taffy homunculus.
Yeah.
Taffy homunculus would actually be a great drag name.
Be a great name for a band.
Yeah.
Taffy Homunculus.
We are Taffy Homunculus.
They play awful funk music. I mean, everybody knows them and a lot of people love them, but when you hear it, you go, this is fucking awful.
It's awful. It's really slow, loud bass with not much inventive, a lot of noodling around it.
Awful
but
stuff.
It's just bass that sounds like wet elephant shit hitting concrete.
Just a lot of fucking douchebags like, you don't understand it, man. And you're like, fuck you. Oh, it's great.
He's the next Thundercat.
This is incredible.
Yeah, my dick is the next Thundercat.
Fucking, yeah, fuck that guy. Fuck that band.
You know what I think would be really funny, actually, to do at a rehearsal dinner is for the bride and groom to do rejected vows, mm-hmm. to write a fun, like, roast set of vows and just, like, roast each other at the rehearsal dinner and be like, these were the vows that didn't make the cut. I'd like to read some things for you now. And then you just proceed to just mercilessly roast the person in your vows.
That's a good idea. Maybe we should just do that if we can get our hands on a microphone ever.
I honestly
think sound fun?
Podcasting the entire experience is...
Ooh, wouldn't that be fun if we just pulled out a laptop and started podcast? We might have to podcast the week of. We might have to do it.
I think we have to podcast the wedding because what are you going to do? Back in the day, it was a videographer, right, to capture your special day. But Jeff has two special friends.
You could just see him just, oh, my God.
They're doing it.
Oh, my God, no.
We just beckon to Robert.
Yeah. Hey, come here. Come here for a second.
Jeff's dad just starts to amble over. He's like, Dad, no. Dad, no.
We just want to talk. Have you ever seen Nope?
We just want to talk, Greeny.
Yeah.
Come on over. Have a seat.
Tell us about the Yankees. Whatever comes to the top of your mind.
It's good journalism.
Well, I can't wait for the Peabody. to come in. Any day.
Expand your mind, Dick.
Peabody Award for best pee scene goes to probably a lot of people. I always figure that's got to be really depressing. Is like you're part of the body that has to rate like thousands of porns. And be like that right there, that's the best blowjob. I feel like that's a really, it sounds fun for a second. You go, no, I don't think so.
Do you really think anybody takes the time to comb through it? Or do you think they just go, ah,
she's hot.
I don't know.
She's fucking hot this year. She wants it.
Yep. She's got better tits, but this one got her ass done this year.
Hey, everybody who wants it, like write to us in, and I don't know. There's got to be.
Is it by popular vote? Is it democratic?
I got to imagine they're probably a pretty easily upset crowd of people.
I think you just.
I got passed over this year, and then they cry, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? Trying to get the best, most handsome male.
I had my vagina bifurcated for this. I was robbed. I was snubbed.
This is ridiculous. My asshole fell out for that scene.
Now it's prehensile, like a little hummingbird tongue.
I bet you at first it was them doing like whatever, but I bet you there's some old, sweaty, self-important dudes who get ingratiated to by porn stars to do it, so they pretend like they're taking it seriously.
Do you think so, or do you think it's a bunch of chads who are sitting there and picking like the funniest name?
I mean, like, dude, everything.
Oh, Taffy Homunculus. We're definitely giving her best anal.
I'd give it more credit if that was the truth, but I just feel like everything that can get taken advantage of in this world does get taken advantage of in this world. So why not the porn awards too?
Well, right? Those guys would be taking advantage at the porn awards. This one had a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
We were really getting into the cinema.
Well, we rambled a lot about Nope. And I mean, I think people at home were like, what the fuck is this? I don't understand. This doesn't help me understand. And then they're going to watch it eventually and be like, I didn't get any of that.
That's true. Some people got a half hour version of the pod. Because we went on at a clip for Nope, and then we're like, skip to the timestamp. And they're like, it's half the fucking episode.
Sorry.
And then when you came back, you're talking about, like, I don't know, fucking...
horse shit?
Yeah.
It was fun.
The AVN Awards?
Shut up. You loved it. You fucking loved it.
A Bruised Vas Deferens? I mean...
Yeah, I remember that was my favorite.
Best Bruised Vas Deferens. Johnny Knoxville!
Oh. This is a weird award to get. Can I sleep with you? Can I sleep? Music starts playing.
I'm going to put a summer sausage in Wee Man's ass.
Hey, Steve-O's apparently doing a tour where he's coming to the Flynn space, where he's showing stuff that they wouldn't even show in the last Jackass.
Or did he already come?
Maybe he did.
Because his name was on the marquee, and I think Girlfriend of the Pod was like, oh, we miss Steve-O.
Oh, yeah. I saw about it briefly, and I was like, oh, is he around? Or is he on his way? And I guess, yeah.
I don't know. I can't confirm that.
I bet it was a bunch
of... What does she know?
I bet it was a bunch of poo stuff.
Probably. Hi, I'm Steve-O, and this is things going into and coming out of my ass.
Yeah. I realize Steve-O is one of those people who I'll never be able to mimic his voice of. Never.
You got to do more whippets.
Yeah.
More inhalants to get that sound.
Yeah, that's wild. His voice is crazy.
That and the guy from the Fish Lot Channel 5 video, that voice, you only get that voice from doing abusing nitrous.
Oh my gosh, that's I bet you 3 fish shirts. But I hate fish.
Yeah.
Trey, you know, it's a noodly type thing.
Yeah, and he just sits in the parking lot with all these dudes doing a shit ton of nitrous.
Huffing down balloons.
And selling it. Wow, what a life.
What a culture.
Yeah, right?
I'm
not going into the show. I'm hanging out in the parking lot with a bunch of dudes doing balloons of nitrous.
That's my Saturday.
That's what I'm doing this weekend.
I go back to being a tax accountant on Monday.
It's one of those things, like, again, like, it's such a shame we didn't get to go see the Grateful Dead play. I was mostly excited about seeing the massive amount of people there, you know?
Oh, Dead and Company?
Yeah.
The ill-fated trip?
Yes. I was waiting to see, like, that huge crowd of people, like, the little village form and all the, like, the little shops and things to go to.
Shakedown Street is what it's called.
I was interested in seeing that. What a shame, because I have a morbid curiosity in those. Like, if you're ever going to drag me to a fish show, that would be what you say. But like, mostly we're just going to go hang out in like the crazy world down below.
The fish lot. They essentially like tailgate with nitrous.
I just want to go look at them.
Splatter paintings.
I just want to go watch them. I just want to go talk to some of those people.
I just want to go make spin art with people that are on Molly. Like, that sounds fun.
I wheeled around. Look, you don't have to do drugs, right? But people who take drugs are some of the most fascinating people in the world sometimes. You got to pick the right ones. Not like you're going to be like, hey, I'm going to get into this van full of these guys doing meth. It's going to be interesting. No, don't do that. But people who are like hanging out on like MDMA, they're the happiest fucking people in the world. They're not like, none of them are sad. It's the best day of their life.
Yeah, and drunks are like Targaryens. When they're born, the gods flip a coin to see whether they're going to be a stupid asshole or someone you can actually talk to.
Yeah, they'll be
no matter how
fun
blacked out.
Yeah, totally, man. Come over here to have a beer. We'll talk about.
Hey, man, this guy over here is the best guy in the world. I've never met you, but I could tell. I'm excellent judge. Care, you're the best guy. In the world.
This
I fucking
guy
love
right
you.
Here. Yeah,
cool, man.
Yeah, awesome. Well, there's that guy, or there's the guy who goes, I don't know, somebody fight me. And you're like, that guy's going to fucking cause trouble.
Takes his shirt off and squares up with a cardboard cutout of Garth Brooks.
Yeah. You're like, God damn it.
Damn it. Not that Tanner's ever done that.
Wraps his hand on a pole.
Blame it all on my roots.
Yeah. So yeah.
I've got farty dudes.
Someone invite me to some weird fish lot. I don't know. Better be local. I'm not traveling for that. It's crazy.
Yeah, maybe next time they're in Burlington.
Yeah. You imagine.
I'll go get some poke and see what the fucking fish dinks are up to.
Man, I forgot. This really smells. This smells really bad.
Yeah. The BO and the weed are competing, and I don't know where one starts and the other one ends.
I know exactly what that smells like, and it's some kind of crystal. I don't know.
Yeah.
Listen, man, it works for some people. It does not work for everyone.
It is an absorbent crystal deodorant nestled in your armpit hairs that thicken under your arms.
I get rid of my BO by meditating. No, you do not.
Well, meditate a little harder.
Meditate in the lake. Watch out for the lamprey.
I have entered a mindful state where I am no longer bothered by my own odor. That's a you problem.
Oh.
I have to respect that kind of discipline.
Just crush him with water. Be like, I'm sorry, you just got in the way of my cleansing water, and that's a you problem? You just happen to be on the other end of it?
It's filled with lavender and
oh,
ammonia.
My God, it just made him smell damp. It doesn't make him smell better.
Oh, God.
Turns out you got to wash and scrub things to make them clean.
I can't get these dreadlocks wet. Why? What happens? Little gremlins start coming out of his head. Yeah, fucking with all the electronics.
Oh, no, bro.
Then I get my creature feature.
Not again.
No, dreadlock gremlins on a white guy. No.
Quick, somebody find a bananas. I don't know. That's the thing that'll solve this.
Oh, they're playing Fire on the Mountain. Oh, my God. They're eating Bob Weir's face. Run, everybody. Run. That actually would be kind of fun to do a stupid, shitty jam band concert. This guy just does not want to go. And it's the same thing. It's like, you can't get my dreads wet after midnight. Yeah. Little monsters come out and start attacking people at the concert.
I mean, that would be a lot of fun.
Little gremlin puppets doing nitrous.
Yeah. Gremlins is hilarious.
Gremlins noodling in the green room. Trey Anastasio and the gremlins are just like writing music together.
These guys are pretty cool.
I've replaced Fishman and the rest of the band with these gremlins.
We're going to play some fun music, and they play music just like the Muppets.
One of them just belches up a human finger.
That sounds, yeah.
New Whoa. Fish rocks.
Oh, we got to write that one. What do you call it? Fish and the Gremlins?
Fish and the Gremlins? That's a good, like, Johnny and the, or Eddie and the Cruisers type thing. Yeah. Fish and the Gremlins?
Fish and the Gremlins.
Yep.
We should name the episode that just to confuse everybody.
Fish and the Gremlins.
Because we don't say it until the very end of the show. Did you make it this far? Did you?
That was last week, too. Shampooing with broken glass.
Yeah, it's exciting.
That's cool.
We're making people get to the end of the episode.
We're making you work for it.
Look at you guys.
We have a title.
We said we were done, but that's like 7 minutes. Good for us.
Yeah. I think we can dump out. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
No. No, not really. I thought I did for a second there, but then I realized, no, I do not.
You just had gas.
Yeah, I was just gassy. It's just gas.
It's just an intestinal, a bowel obstruction.
It wasn't a UFO and it wasn't a creature. It was just hot gas.
And that's all she wrote. Swamp gas phenomenon. We don't owe you more of an explanation than that. You guys are fucking dumb. We didn't really abuse the audience that much this episode, so let me get it in
the end. A little bit in the end. I understand.
You stupid fucking never amount to anything pig people.
Stupid, stupid people.
Stupid. Thank you so much for joining us once again. So until next time, thank you. Go fuck yourselves. And goodbye.